The pendulum swings, you might say. In this campaign era, the cost of prisons, the militarization of police, the controversies of aggressive policing and excessive incarceration have all made prison reform a political issue, the way law and order was a generation ago. In fact, undoing the consequences of those once unchallenged campaign issues like mandatory minimum sentencing, three strikes and you're out, is now on the political agenda of many state and local leaders who see prisons as symbols of racial inequality, bad social policy, and tense communities. Republican Governor Nathan Deal from Georgia has made wide-ranging prison and criminal justice reform his personal mission. Since his election, he's come to believe that the GOP can be the national leader in law enforcement innovation and the party of shrinking prisons for juveniles and adults.
When I became governor of Georgia in 2011, we had a prison population that had doubled in the previous two decades and was about 56,000 people. We were told that at that point in time we were the 10th largest population state, but we had the 4th highest prison population. So we decided that that was an issue that, from a financial perspective, certainly justified taking a look at, but also from a cost standpoint. Our budget had doubled to over $1 billion a year, and the results were not very good. We were seeing a recidivism rate for adults of about 30% and even higher at 65% for juveniles that were in our system. So from a financial standpoint, from a safety standpoint, because recidivism obviously indicates that safety concerns are involved, and from an overall standpoint of trying to break the cycle of crime, I thought it was an issue that was worth undertaking.
And would you say that this was a series of mistakes that led to this, that the law and order anti-crime campaigns of the 1970s and 80s really created a mess that you have to untangle now?
Some people might classify that as the problem. I do not say that that is what we were faced with, because I think that was the mentality that prevailed all across our country. It was the notion that if we could just simply lock up people who commit crimes and not pay attention as to why the crimes were committed and why they were in trouble in the first place, then we would all be safer. And it led to things like taking away discretion from judges in imposing sentences. It led to mandatory minimum sentences, which prolonged the time that offenders were incarcerated in our prison system. So I said, let's step back and take a look at it from the outside looking in. And we did that by bringing a task force together and asked them to just take a very hard look at, are there things we should be doing differently? And the result was, over a three-year period, in three separate legislative sessions, we passed with overwhelming majorities, in fact, the first 2 years by unanimous vote in the House and the Senate, these kinds of reforms.
Have you closed specific prisons, and do you have plans to do so?
Well, in the juvenile arena, yes, we have been able to close two of our detention facilities there. We have seen a drop in commitments of felony and short-term program participants in our juvenile system has dropped by about 62% over the first 9 months that our juvenile programs were in place. On the adult side, what we were faced with was being told that I was going to have to add 5,000 new adult prison beds over the 5 years from the time I first took office. This is my fifth year in office. We have not had to build additional prisons. We have reprogrammed some of our prisons to take advantage of increased and enhanced educational opportunities for our inmates, and that is a part of our overall prisoner reentry program.
Would you say this is a race issue in the state of Georgia?
Some people might look at it that way. I don't think that's the case. We did have, as many states have, we had a disproportionately higher number of African Americans who were incarcerated in our prison system. They have had probably the most profound statistical change of any of our population groups.
Well, that is a race issue then.
It relates to the makeup of your population. Now, we still have more African Americans in our prison population than other population groups, but it has leveled that ratio down a little bit to more appropriately reflect the population of our state as a whole.
Do you think the Republican Party can lead on the question of prison reform in the 2016 election?
Well, I would hope it would be an issue that Republicans are paying attention to. First of all, I think you have to convince people that making these reforms does not jeopardize their safety, that in fact it enhances their safety. That's why the third leg of our criminal justice stool, that of reentry of those in our prison system back into our society, is so important. For example, someone who is locked up in a prison for 15 or 20 years, who came in as a dropout of school, had no marketable skills, and after spending whatever time they are required to spend in the prison system, if we send them out with the same situation of still having no high school diploma, no marketable skills, and a major felony on their record, and expect them not to get in trouble again, that is unrealistic. And what we're doing is we are engaging, not only giving them a high school education, we've engaged some of our charter schools who will actually come into the prison system and give them not just a GED, but a true high school diploma. And also engaging on the technical education side, that they can go to an employer once they're released and say, this is evidence of the fact, first of all, that I have been rehabilitated because I have taken it in my own hands with the opportunities that were afforded to me to better myself. And these are the things I can offer to you as an employee if you choose to employ me.
And are employers taking up that argument?
They are. Now, that's something that is a new phenomenon. Normally, it is very, very difficult for someone who's had a major felony on their record to be able to find employment. And that leads to another area we've made reforms in as far as the state is concerned. We have what you term banned the box. That is, when somebody's applying for a job, there are many questions that they have to be asked. And one is, have you ever been convicted of a felony? For those who are out of our prison system and who seek employment in the state in terms of state employment, if they have had a felony, they are allowed, even if they have checked that box, they are allowed to have a face-to-face interview with the agency head that they are applying for a job with. We are hopeful that others will follow suit. We've seen some municipalities who've already decided in our state that they will follow that same policy.
Governor Nathan Deal, Republican from Georgia, thanks so much.
Thank you very much.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, the New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.